Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for the worship time, God, where we got to sing of your extravagant love and how you came down to be with us and to save us, God. We thank you for this day. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for the offering song. And now we come before your word, and I pray that you will just be with us, God, and speak to us today. I pray that you would release the spirit of wisdom and revelation in this room so that we may know you better. Give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Holy Spirit is saying today. And I humble myself before you. I ask that you'll use me to preach your word to your church, God. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Again, I just want to wish you a Merry Christmas. Hope that you are doing well and that you're excited about this Christmas season and that you have some wonderful plans to be with your family and do nice things this Christmas. The title of my message today is this: Do you know what Christmas is all about? Do you know what Christmas is all about? And that's my question to you that I want to propose this morning. Do you know what Christmas is all about? There's a pretty famous, well-known movie, old movie. I don't know when it came out, but it's called A Charlie Brown Christmas. Charlie Brown is the main character of Snoopy, the dog. He's like the owner of Snoopy. So some of you might know it better as Snoopy. But A Charlie Brown Christmas is a cartoon, 25 minutes long. And in the movie, Charlie Brown is the main character, and Christmas time is here, but he knows that he should be happy because Christmas is a happy time, but he finds himself unhappy, and something is bothering him, and he can't quite figure out what's wrong. And wherever he looks, he sees that commercialism and materialism has taken over Christmas. His little sister is making a list that she reads off to him. It's for Santa Claus, and she's specifying exactly all the different gifts that she wants. And his dog, Snoopy, is decorating his doghouse in order to win a cash prize for the Christmas decoration competition. So he sees commercialism, materialism. He doesn't like it, and his friend Lucy suggests, why don't you direct the Christmas play at the school? Maybe directing the play will help you figure out and discover the true meaning of Christmas. So he decides to do it, but as he's directing the play, he finds that all the children are just fighting against one another. They want the best position, you know, they want the best role, the most prominent role, and they're arguing about music, they're arguing about decoration, and just not a nice time. And the final task that Charlie Brown has for this play is to go out and get a Christmas tree to put on the stage. And so he goes to the store, and there's all these trees, but somehow Charlie Brown is drawn to this little tree. It's an ugly tree, very sparse, skinny, thin, not a nice-looking tree, a tree that nobody would want, but somehow Charlie Brown is drawn to it. So he gets the tree, brings it back to school, puts it on the stage, and everybody just laughs at him. Everyone is saying, this is an old cartoon. So they're allowed to say things a lot that are a lot meaner than today's cartoons. So they say things like, Charlie Brown, you're so stupid. Charlie Brown, you everything you do, you just ruin it. You're a failure, you know? I knew you would mess this up. I knew you would get the wrong tree. And everybody laughs and they go off. And Charlie Brown, in his frustration, he yells out, isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about? And that's my question to you. Is there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about? And if you're sitting here today at Christmas service in church, I'm sure you'll say, well, of course. Of course I know what Christmas is all about. It's about Jesus. It's about the birth of our Savior. And in the movie, there's another character, Linus. He says to Charlie Brown, well, sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. And he comes on the stage, gets in front of the microphone, and he reads from Luke chapter 2 about the angel appearing before the shepherds to announce the good news of the birth of the Savior and the host of heaven appearing and singing, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. Something like that. Peace on earth. I didn't write that down. Peace on earth to all men with whom God is pleased. And Linus says, this is what Christmas is all about. And Charlie Brown is finally satisfied, and he's settled in his heart. He says, okay, that's what Christmas is about. And I think you know. I mean, you've probably seen the movie. If you're here at church, you're here because you know that Christmas is not about everything else, but it's about Jesus Christ. But my question to you is not whether you know it in your head, but do you know it in your heart what Christmas is all about? Do you know it in your heart? Deep down, do you believe it, that it's about Jesus and not about all these things? Not just head knowledge, but heart knowledge, meaning does your life and how you celebrate Christmas reflect what you say you believe about what Christmas is about? Does your life reflect what you say you know about the true meaning of Christmas? We can tell that we know something down here, that we really believe it and are convinced of it. We can tell by your actions whether you know it or not, right? We all know that junk food is bad for us. And then we all know that exercise is good and necessary. And we all know that we should be coming to church on time, right? We all know that. We talked about this as a church. But do we know it? How do you know if you know it? You know by their actions. Do you still eat a lot of junk food? Do you discipline yourself to work out? Do you come to church on time? And we can say, well, you know it, but you don't really know it. And if I were to look at my own life, you know, every time I preach, it's a great opportunity for me to reflect and think and pray about the topic, whatever I'm preaching. And I really have to look at myself and ask, am I practicing what I'm preaching? And this opportunity was the same. As I try to prepare this Christmas message, I have to really look at myself and examine myself. Do I really know what Christmas is about? As I looked at my behavior and how I'm celebrating Christmas and the things that I got excited about and the plans that I was making, if I'm honest with myself, I don't think I really know that Christmas is about Jesus. You know, if I looked at what I have done so far and what I'm planning to do, you would think Christmas is about Santa Claus. You know, I live in Tung Chung. It's an hour and 15 minutes to Admiralty. And on Monday, our whole family, we took both of our kids from Tung Chung to Pacific Place, an hour and 15 minutes, and we waited for 25 minutes to get a photo with Santa Claus. And then we came all the way home. We didn't eat there. We didn't do anything. We just went, get us a photo with Santa Claus, and we came home. If we looked at my behavior and what I'm doing to prepare for Christmas, you would think Christmas is just about getting some time off, having family time, eating together. It's about eating and the food. If you looked at my life and what I'm excited about during Christmas, you would think it's about decorations, you know, Christmas tree and the lights and the music and the movies. None of this is bad. Right? None of this is bad. Christmas tree is good, the music, the mood. I mean, even Santa Claus is fun. It's a good time to be with family and kids get excited. But if all of my time and all of my energy and all of my effort goes into these things, it just shows that maybe I can't really say that I know the true meaning of Christmas. I say that I know, and I come to church because it's the right thing to do, but maybe deep down in my heart, to me, Christmas is still just about celebrating and having a nice time and enjoying this time together. And so I want to encourage you to take some time and reflect. Look at your own behavior. Look at the way you're celebrating Christmas. What's Christmas about for you? Is it about Jesus or is it about all these other things? Let's set this straight. Christmas is all about Jesus Christ. Yeah? Christmas is all about Jesus Christ. Or at least originally, if we examine the passage today that we read, if you go to verse 21, 21 to 23, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. I'm so thankful for our worship team today. They picked such great songs that reminded us of the love of God and what he has done, that he came down to be with us, and not only to be with us, but to save us from our sins. And that's what we read in verse 21. You will bear a son, and his name is going to be Jesus, which means Yahweh saves, because he's going to be the one to save us from our sins. So Christmas time is about remembering that Jesus, the Son of God, came to save us from our sins. And it's also about remembering his name, Emmanuel, how Jesus is the fulfillment of Emmanuel, God with us. That he didn't abandon us, he didn't abandon the world, but he came down. And like we sang today, it's incomprehensible. We can't understand it. You know, it's difficult to believe and understand and comprehend why would God do something like this. But Christmas time is about remembering Emmanuel, God with us, that he didn't leave us alone in our sins, in darkness, perishing, but that he came down and became one of us so that he can save us from our sins and give us new life and give us a new birth. Here's what I want to suggest to us. If Christmas really is all about Jesus, we need to respond a little differently at Christmas time. Not filling up all of our time with all the peripherals. As nice as these things are, the tree, the songs, the movies, the holiday, the family time, the children performing, Santa Claus, all these things are nice and fun, but we can't be filling all of our time with the peripherals if the main attraction is Jesus Christ. You know, and I want to say, I won't say, okay, so for the sake of our culture and our time, this is what I would say. Christmas is mostly about Jesus. Yeah, in our culture, I mean, let's be honest, Christmas is about Santa and the family time and the decoration and the mood and the songs, and those are okay. But it's mostly about Jesus, and if Christmas is mostly about Jesus and a little bit about these things, then our response to Christmas should reflect that reality. Instead of most of our time going into the peripherals, and then one time coming to church and just singing a few songs and maybe praying a prayer. You know, it needs to be reversed. So I have 3 points. I have 3 points, 3 appropriate ways to respond to the true meaning of Christmas. And if there's one thing I learned as I was preparing for this message, for a Christmas message, it's that Christmas messages need to be short. Okay, so I'm going to try to keep it short. Last, or 2 years ago when PSAM did a Christmas message, I was listening to it to see, is there anything I can learn from there? And I mean, a lot of things I could learn, but the main thing I learned is he kept it short. You know, he kept it to 30 minutes. So I was like, okay, that's my inspiration. So let's go. Three appropriate ways, I think three proper ways to respond to the true meaning of Christmas about God sending his son Jesus to the world. Number one is worship. Worship. Number one, I think we need to worship at Christmas time. You know, we need to set aside, I hope we can set aside an intentional and deliberate time to worship him and to adore him and to honor him. And I'm not just talking about singing songs, although that's one way for us to express our worship, but worship is so much more than that. Just because you don't play the guitar or the piano or you don't like to sing doesn't mean you can't worship at home with your family, you know? In today's culture, in a church culture, if I were to ask you, give me the most common worship posture, we would probably do this, you know? This. Because that's what we see at church, right? Hands lifted high, eyes closed, looking into heaven, you know? But I think in the scriptures, the most common portrayal of worship is to fall on our knees, to bow down, right? To literally fall on our faces, prostrate, and saying, God, you're so holy, you're so worthy, and you're so deserving of my worship. And I honor you, I humble myself before you. And that's a more common posture of worship that we see in Scripture. And you could do that at home. You know, you could get your kids and say, all right, kids, let's kneel. I know it's a little awkward maybe, but maybe we just need to change that our culture a little bit, you know? If we focus on that word, Emmanuel, and just the basic meaning of that, God with us, we can say it in other words, what that means is God is here. God is here. He is in our midst. God with us. The presence of God is here. And I think an appropriate response to the presence of God being here is to kneel and to worship. I mean, just imagine that it's not just an idea, but I mean, imagine that Jesus were to walk in here, appear in his form, you know, what do we call it? The glorified body, right? In the form of his glory, and he comes down, his face is glowing, you know, revelations, that kind of stuff, the vision of the throne room of God, and we see him in his bright light, and we see the glory of God. I think all of us, intuitively, we would know, man, we got to get on our faces, and we got to worship. And that's what Emmanuel means, God with us. The presence of God is here. God is in our midst. If God is in our midst, shouldn't we worship him? Shouldn't we bow down? Shouldn't we humble ourselves? In the first Christmas account, in Matthew chapter 2, after Jesus is born, we read the story of the Magi, right? I mean, this mysterious figure, we don't even know if it's three, right? But wise men, magi, come from the east. They see a star and they realize the King of Jews has been born. And they realize, oh no, we got to go and worship him. I mean, it's so mysterious. How did they know? But we see, even in that first Christmas account, in verse 11 of chapter 2, after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. You know, they saw this baby boy, and they knew. That's, I mean, I don't know what they knew, But they knew, just intuitively they knew, oh, we got to worship this baby. This baby is God. And they must have known God is in our midst. And they fell on their faces and they worshiped. They adored him, they honored him, and they submitted themselves, and then they gave him a gift. You know, Tim Tang, our beloved brother, Tim Tang at church, he did an EMP message just a while ago about this passage, and he said something so profound, which is very simple, but it was profound to me because I hadn't been thinking of it. He said, when you go to a birthday party, you should bring a present to the birthday person, right? But during Christmas, I mean, which is the birthday of Jesus, not literally the birthday of Jesus. Jesus wasn't born December 25th, right? We don't know when he was born, but we've designated this day as his birthday. Yet we give gifts to everybody else, but we don't bring him a gift. And I thought, oh man, that's profound. You know, he said it in his nice, gentle, quiet, just kind of in his EMP early morning, tired voice. And I was like, oh, Jesus, what can I give to you? Man, I got to bring a gift to Jesus, not to everybody else. So worship, I think, is an appropriate response at Christmas time. Number two, give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. I know giving thanks sounds a lot like worship, but I think it's a little bit different. I think worship is more about who he is, right? He is glorious. He's majestic. He's the King of Kings. He's high above. He is holy. And so worship is responding to who he is in humility and adoring him and loving him and declaring, Jesus, God, you are worthy. You know, I give my life to you. You are worthy. Whereas giving thanks has more to do with what he has done. Right? It's a response to what he has done. And giving thanks, I think it's implied when you give thanks to him, what is implied, it's implied that you actually believe what he has done and you receive the work that he has done, you know? So giving thanks is a little bit different. And I think Christmas time is an appropriate time to give thanks for what he has done. John 3:16 and 17. I mean, you know, you're familiar with this passage. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Again, when we look at that word Emmanuel and the meaning God with us, another way to say what he has done, God with us, in other words, he came down. Right? He came down to this world to save his people from their sins. I mean, it's just in that short text, we realize we have sin. Everybody has sin. In Psalm 24, it says, who can come into the presence of this holy God? Only if you have clean hands and a pure heart. Only if you have clean hands and a pure heart. Have you ever had a time, you know, let's say you're walking and you see somebody. Let's say you're at church. We're doing our greeting time, a minute and a half. Let's say hello to one another and you turn to and you see somebody you know and you're like, hey. And instinctively, you reach your hand to shake his hand or you give him a high five. And as your hand moves, that person just sneezes into their hands and you see him going, oh shoot, sorry, but it's too late. Your hand is already in the motion of extending. So he's like, oh sorry. And then you're like, oh man, okay. And you grab his hand. His hands are dirty and your hands are clean and you don't want to shake a dirty hand. I mean, in a very silly way, similar. God is a holy God and he's got pure clean hands, and he's got a pure and clean heart, and he's saying, if you want to come to me and be in my presence, you need to have clean hands. But the fact is, none of us have clean hands. All of our hands are stained. All of our hearts are impure to some degree, and there's nothing else, nothing can wash that stain away other than the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us on the cross. And in order to do that, he had to come down and be amongst us and be with us. Right? And that's what Christmas, we're celebrating that. And another way of looking at God with us is that he, that his presence will always be with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. We're never alone. He will never leave us alone, no matter what we're going through. And we know that sometimes the most comforting thing to do when a person is hurting is just to be there, right? Just to be there in your presence. You don't have to say a lot. You don't really know what to say anyway. And nothing you say is really going to make a difference. But if you can come and you just hold that person's hand or you put your arm around that person and you let the person know, hey, I'm here for you. Whatever you need, I'm here for you. And that's the kind of presence of God. I mean, he just offers it to us. And God with us, just in that word, Emmanuel, God with us, it carries that meaning of God. He's never going to leave us. He's always going to be with us. I will never leave you or forsake you, he says. And so we thank him. You know, we thank him. We give thanks. R.T. Kendall, you guys know R.T. Kendall. We've had him speak here a few times now. And he said he was preaching a message. And I think in his church, the way it worked was somebody else would come up and read the text. And he'd be sitting up on the stage. And after the text is read, they do a few things. And then he will come up to preach. And the text that was that morning was Philippians chapter 3, I think chapter 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. And with thanksgiving, just kind of jumped at him as he is sitting down and as the person is reading the text. And God began to convict him, and God began to ask him all these kinds of questions, you know. Do you know where you're from? And he's like, well, he's from Kentucky, right? The countryside of Kentucky. And he says, and where did you go to school? And he said, well, I graduated from Oxford. And I mean, that's an amazing thing. And God said, well, have you thanked me for that? And R.T. Kendall said, well, I am thankful, but I never actually thanked him. I am thankful, but I've never actually took time to thank him. And again, like another item, another item, another item. And just, he was so filled with conviction. He came up. He says, I don't know how he got through the message, but he got through the message. And as soon as the service was done, he said he went home or just straight to his office. He knelt down and he wept and he repented and he began to thank God for all the things that he had done. So that's what I mean. Giving thanks is not, oh, I'm just so thankful this Christmas. You know, I just have a thankful heart. That's good. But give thanks, as in take some time to verbally tell him, Jesus, thank you. You know, God, thank you that you sent your son to die for me on the cross, that you became as I am. You know, we thank him. I thank you for the life that I have in you. I thank you that my sins are forgiven. I thank you that my hands are clean and that my heart can be purified. I thank you for the sacrifice you made. You know, so let's give thanks. I think that's something you can do at home. You know, not just today, but on Christmas Day. And the last thing that I want to say, number three, an appropriate response to the true meaning of Christmas, to what Christmas is really all about, I think, is imitate. Imitate. In light of what Jesus has done, I think we need to do the same. Jesus says in John chapter 13, verse 15, you don't have to go there, I'll read it for you. John 13, 15, Jesus says, I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. In this example, Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. But that applies to the rest of his life. You know, I mean, there's many texts in Scripture that says, hey, let's imitate Christ. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Love like him. Serve like him. Give as we have received from him. You know? And so, I think if we really understand what Christmas is all about, that God came down. He left his home, so to speak. I mean, it's incomprehensible. But God, he left his comfort zone, stepped outside, and came into this world. He humbled himself to become like one of us. And if we embrace it and we are the recipient of that kind of love and mercy, I think we need to do the same. We need to look around us and say, is there anyone in my life that needs the presence of God? And can I go and be that presence? You know? Can I offer that the same kind of comfort that God gives to me, can I offer that comfort? The same kind of love that he gives to me, can I give that love? Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 7. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. On Christmas Day, I mean, God didn't go to be with himself. You know what I mean? God didn't go on Christmas Day to be with himself and to celebrate and have a nice dinner together, which, I mean, that's fine if we do that. But he came down. He went out of his comfort zone. He went to a place that was unfamiliar, that was in need. From a lofty place, he came to a very lowly place to be with us, to be with the world. And I think we could learn from that. So that in this time, we're not just looking for ways to fill my time with what I want to do. I want to watch a movie, and I'm going to go to Disneyland, and I'm going to go to the AIA Carnival. I'm going to take some time off, gather with family, have a nice meal, gift exchanges with all my friends. And those things are good. Those are good. I'm not saying they're bad. Please do them. But at the same time, let's remember, like, what this is all about is Jesus came down from heaven to earth. He stepped out. He stepped out of his comfort zone. And so is there anyone that we wouldn't maybe normally be with, but on this special day, can we be with that person? And just look for an opportunity to say, Jesus loves you, I love you, I care about you. You're not alone. And for those of us here, I think, because sometimes Christmas time is not always a nice time. I realize that sometimes people sometimes people get depressed during Christmas. They actually get a little sadder during Christmas because maybe they see everybody else having a good time and they feel like they don't have anyone that they can be with. And I want to suggest to you, if during Christmas time you're focusing on yourself, you may end up feeling sad. You may end up feeling like, oh, where's my, you know, I wish I had a spouse, or I wish I had kids, I wish I had a family, I wish I had some people. And if you focus on yourself, I think you may end up feeling sad. But I believe if you focused on loving others, you will probably end up feeling very fulfilled and happy. You know, if you stop focusing on yourself and woe is me and how about me, and you look for somebody else that might be in need and say, hey, I'll buy you a meal, or, you know, let's spend some time together. I think you will end up, you'll find yourself, oh, I'm actually very happy this Christmas season. It's different. So that's it. Short message. But I want us to, I mean, I think it's great. I mean, I think it's, if Christmas is mostly about Jesus and a little bit about these things, please, by all means, do these things and have some time with your family and have a nice meal and do your gift exchanges and set up a tree and do those things. But let's reverse the amount of time and the amount of energy and the amount of effort we spend on that. And let's make sure that we do respond to what Christmas is mostly about, which is God coming down, being with us, and the birth of our Savior, and all of what that entails. You know, the significance of all of that. And so, if I can invite the worship team together, please. I asked the worship team to sing O Come All Ye Faithful, but actually, could we sing Extravagant one time, please? And then sing O Come. We'll just do two songs. I mean, it's a short message. I want us to respond. I want to give you some time to respond in worship and in thanksgiving and to really kind of meditate upon the true meaning of Christmas so that we may know. Not just know in our heads, like, oh yeah, I mean, we come to church, we do this thing, but to really know it in our heart deep down and to be convinced of it and to be changed by it. So let's just go before God. Let's sing these two songs. Let's just adore Him. So Father God, I thank You. I pray that You'll help us to respond well to the true meaning of Christmas, God. That we would respond correctly, that we would respond rightly, God. And I repent that in this Christmas time, I just give in to all the other things, the peripherals, God. And those are nice too, and I thank You for those things. But God, I want to make sure that this time that I remember what Christmas is actually mostly about, which is Jesus Christ and the birth of our Savior and what that means, the love of God and how you came down and You poured out Your love, and it's incomprehensible. I can't understand it, God, but it's true, and I pray that our hearts would be changed by that. Lord, I pray for a heart that is not cold and distant and just unaffected. I pray for hearts, God, that are tender, that are touched deeply by Christmas, by what You have done. And I just pray for a sensitive heart, Lord, that our hearts would be sensitive to what You have done, and that we wouldn't lose the wonder of this time, God. So come, convict our hearts, change our hearts, God. Help us to respond well, God, this Christmas. Thank You, Lord. If you want to sit, you can sit. If you want to stand, if you want to kneel, whatever you want to do, but let's just sing, let's worship through the songs, and let's respond to Christmas.
You are a lover. You are a lover before time's beginning. You gave Your love. Doesn't make sense, we'll never comprehend the way You love us. It's unthinkable. Only heaven knows just how far You'd go to say You love us. doesn't make sense. We'll never comprehend the way you love us. It's unthinkable. Only heaven knows just how far you'd go to say you love us.
Just stay in that place. You can keep your eyes closed. I just want to say this. If you're here today and you don't have a personal and vibrant relationship with Jesus, I'm not just talking about you come to church, you believe in Jesus Christ, but you don't have a personal and vibrant relationship. This song in the verses, it says, Jesus, my Jesus. And you can't call him my Jesus because you just don't have a relationship with him. So this is for all of us. Even if you've been a Christian, a churchgoer all your life, if you don't have a personal relationship with Him, this is the love of God that He has for you. Extravagant, unthinkable, will never comprehend. It doesn't make sense. And as He's pulling you closer, will you stop resisting and open your heart to Him? And if you are here in this place and you say, I want to know Jesus in this same way. I want to know Jesus in the way that the worship team knows Him. And the people I see around me on their knees crying. I want to know Jesus the same way that they know Him. I want to invite you to pray with me. It's a very simple prayer. And if you agree with me, you just say amen. And it's just an invitation, and God will come in. He will honor your prayers, and He will come, and He will do something completely new and different and change your heart. So just pray with me. Dear God, I'll just pray. You just listen, and all you do, if you agree with it in your heart, just say amen. Dear God, thank you for this Christmas season. Thank you that you are Emmanuel, God with us. That you didn't leave us alone in our sins. You didn't leave us alone in our brokenness and in our darkness, but that you came down to be with us and to save us from our sins, to cleanse us of our hands, God, to purify us from the impurity in our hearts, God. I am a sinner in need of forgiveness. I'm a sinner in need of your strength to overcome. I need you, Jesus. Please come into my life and be my Savior. Please come into my life and be my King. I want to know you. I need you. I want a personal, vibrant relationship with you. God, I give my heart to you. I give my heart to you, God. I love you. I don't know everything. There's still a lot of things I don't know, but God, I want to start a relationship with you. Name I pray, amen. And if you really, really said this prayer, I invite you, you can come and talk to me after service, or you can even just email me. I know it's weird to talk to someone maybe after service. My email is very easy, nate.chung@sphk.org. I'm serious, email me. I would love to meet with you and talk with you about beginning a journey of knowing Him better and following Him and loving Him. And let's sing this one more song, O Come All You Faithful, and then I'll close with a benediction. This song is a Christmas hymn, obviously, but it just talks about adoring Him. Worshiping, it's not about just the feeling, the mood, you know. So let's really come and let's adore our King Jesus. Worship you, we adore you. We praise you, God. Glory to God in the highest. We want to give you all the glory and praise you. We want to come in worship. God, you are here in our midst. God, we want to worship you. We want to humble ourselves, God. We want to fall on our faces, recognize your holiness, God. So we worship you, and we want to give you thanks for all that you have done. We want to give you thanks for the love that you have for us, that extravagant love, that you don't belittle our suffering, but you comfort us with your presence, God. And help us, Lord, to imitate that same kind of love, God, this Christmas season. Thank you, Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Merry Christmas.